grand fanfare welcome to our podcast, Keeping Up with the Windsors, dedicated to the royal family.
Each episode will be crammed to the rafters with opinions, news and commentary on the comings and goings of the family of Windsor.
With your hosts and royal fangirls, Rachel Andrews and Michelle Thole.
So grab yourself a cuppa,
straighten up your tiara,
shine your knighthood,
round up your corgis,
and let's keep up with the Windsors. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Keeping Up with the Windsors. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Michelle. Hello.
Well, Michelle.
deep breath out.
We had a totally different show ready for today, didn't we?
We did.
But because of, in light of what's come out recently in regards to Meghan, we will be discussing that in the royal news this week. Stay tuned.
So this is the way it's got to work. We know that Prince Charles, the Duchess of Cornwall and the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge have had engagements this week. Because we focused a lot on them last week, we decided to give some of the other members of the royal family the spotlight on the royal roundup. So that's what we're going to do. If we miss anything, obviously the senior royals, we will bring them up next week, unless there's any more news, right? So that's what we're going to do for the roundup today. And then we'll go straight into the Meghan court case that's happening in Britain at the moment for the royal news. But firstly, Rachel, we actually saw each other on Saturday.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
It's been a long time coming.
In person.
And we did a little impromptu live over on Instagram.
We did. So if you haven't seen that live, feel free to head on over to at Keeping Up With The Windsors Pod. Because, yeah, we were together. We were like, you know what? Let's just press live. Let's just do it.
And also, we said all along we weren't going to see the Spencer film. And what did we go and see? The Spencer film.
But a few weeks back, we mentioned that we were going to have some really amazing new things to share with you. And we're going to share those with you today. So on Saturday, Rachel and I got together and we started recording some videos for YouTube. So Keeping Up With The Windsors will be on YouTube very shortly. Head over to Instagram on our link tree, click on that, and there'll be a link to subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you subscribe, also hit the notification bell. So when our first video goes up, which will be our review of Spencer, the movie, you will be notified as soon as that happens. So come on over, don't be shy, come and subscribe to the channel and we'll let you know. Hopefully it'll be up in the next week or so. How are you feeling about being on YouTube, Rach?
It's scary, isn't it? I think it's like when we first started the podcast, I was really nervous and a bit anxious about starting it. I think it's one of those things where it's strange, isn't it, hearing your own voice?
Mm.
But then when we was recording some of the videos, one of the first videos we recorded, we literally, Michelle had to redo her makeup because she was crying with laughter so much. It was just so funny. We were just like, oh my God, this is awful. What? We can't put this up.
I've got to keep them all as bloopers. It was hilarious, honestly. My mascara was running all the way down my eyes. I had to stop in the end. It's like, right, we need to adjust. But what we'll be doing on our YouTube channel is royal news. We'll be doing our palace vlog. So when we went to Kensington Palace and Windsor Castle, we actually vlogged because we've always had in mind to have a podcast and a YouTube channel. We actually said, Rach, didn't we? We probably watch YouTube more than we watch normal television. So for us, it was a no-brainer. Those are the two platforms that we've always wanted to be on.
Yeah.
But we wanted to make sure that we were comfortable with one first before we moved into the other one.
And I think what's going to be different is, obviously, with our podcast, it's a weekly podcast, as you said before, and it is the royal news for each week. But I think what we're going to be doing differently on the YouTube is, like you said, palace tours, London vlogs, fashion, things that sometimes don't necessarily correlate to a podcast. Because when we're talking about certain things, for instance, if Catherine's wearing a fabulous dress, it's all right us speaking about that dress, but sometimes it's nice to visually see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to go into more detail. So that's just some of the things that we're going to have on our YouTube. And yeah, we're really excited and we've got some great ideas for videos. But if you have any suggestions, anything you really want to see, let us know, DM us over on Instagram or give us a message on keepingupthewindsorspod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'd love to hear your suggestions.
Yeah, definitely. And then we've got our next big announcement, and it is that we are on Ko-fi. Ko-fi is a platform that will allow Rachel and I to keep going with the podcast. So if you would love to help us keep the podcast on the air, feel free to go on over and buy us a coffee. You can even do a monthly donation, and I'll be putting up some behind the scenes videos and stuff. In the future, we might have a membership if you want to come on over, and we'll, you know, but that'll come later on. We're just at the moment, we would love to raise some money to keep our podcast on the air. The link will be in the show notes. So when you're listening to the podcast, just scroll up on your app and you should have the show notes there. Remember as well, whenever we mention any charities or links, they will always be in the show notes for you. So yeah, thank you so much for being here, being part of the royal community. It's exciting, like these new layers of extra royal content for you all out there. I just find it really exciting. I'm really looking forward to YouTube, and I'm really looking forward to continuing with the podcast.
So that's our little roundup social media wise. Now let's go into the royal roundup for this week.
Let's start with a lovely Princess Royal. We missed her, didn't we, last week, Rach? Because obviously we were covering COP26. We thought we would shine the lights on her engagements for this week. She travelled to Northern Ireland and visited local businesses and communities, including the Siege Museum, where she unveiled a special stone. Rach, she unveiled a stone! We don't have anything for a stone. We've got plaque, we've got tree, we've got a time capsule.
I know, it's not a plaque.
It's not a plaque.
What can we call it?
Oh, good.
I don't know. Stone is quite unusual to unveil, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Stonehenge.
Yeah. Okay. And all together, royal community, we're going to all say it together. Are we ready? She unveiled a special stone.
Stonehenge!
And this stone was to mark the centenary of Northern Ireland. Later on in the week, as patron of Maritime UK, Anne attended the International Maritime Hub opening reception at COP26 in Glasgow.
And we couldn't leave the Princess Royal engagements out without mentioning the ride-in for the Disabled Association incorporating carriage driving, who raised over £1 million to save their West London stables. Now, Anne became patron in 1971 and president in 1985. And to mark the occasion, the new academy was named after her. So now it is called the Princess Royal Coaching Academy.
I love this engagement with the Princess Royal. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know me, she's one of my faves. But just to see her over the years on the socials with all the different horses, meeting all the children, it was just amazing. And the fact that they were able to raise over £1 million to keep the stables open is incredible. Honestly, such an amazing achievement.
Oh, Michelle, and did you see this? There was some photos on socials, but there was this little boy, and he was speaking to Anne, and he asked her if she was the queen.
Yes.
And he said, Anne responded, "No, the queen is my mother." And he said, "You're very beautiful and very sexy."
Who's operator?
Now this boy, he was like 6 or 7, but you could just see Anne's face. She was cracking up. And that's the beauty of kids sometimes, isn't it? They just say what they feel like.
Yeah.
There's no filter whatsoever. But I just thought that was absolutely hilarious and I loved it.
Bring it on. That's the way you meet a royal. Okay, so this week we saw that it was Lady Louise's 18th birthday. So we would love to extend, if she does listen to the podcast, happy birthday, Lady Louise. And I remember in episode 22, Rach, when we were talking about whether Lady Louise would actually become Princess Louise.
Yes, that's right. I remember that. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of people were speculating whether we were going to get an announcement, but I think she is still at school and she's still doing her A-levels. So I think maybe after that, it will be interesting to see what happens in terms of, will she take any patronages like Beatrice and Eugenie, but then have a normal job? I mean, she might even go to university. Who knows?
Yeah. Watch this space as we see on the podcast.
The Duke of Gloucester was in Bristol to present the Queen's Award for voluntary service to the postnatal mental health charity Mothers for Mother. And he planted his first platinum jubilee tree at Bristol Waters. Jubilee!
Yes! so great to see him on the socials. We also saw the Earl and Countess of Wessex with solo engagements. Edward went to the Yorkshire Wildlife Park to open the new sea lion facility, Point Lomas. He learned about the Ranger Academy programme the young people can complete as part of their Duke of Edinburgh Awards. I mean, I love a sea lion. I love wildlife parks. I think they're amazing. Yorkshire Wildlife Park is brilliant. So it was lovely to see this engagement. And he looked really happy kind of feeding the sea lion some fish.
Who wouldn't be?
Exactly.
And then Sophie helped launch Resilience Unity, brought together by the Counterterrorism Advisory Network. And Sophie heard stories from victims and survivors of terrorism.
Yeah. So we saw Sophie on this engagement, but we also saw an engagement last night at Windsor Castle, didn't we, Rach?
Oh, there were so many royals there, wasn't there?
So many royals. OMG.
So we had Prince Charles, Princess Anne, Princess Alexandra, the Duke of Kent, the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester. I think that's all of them.
It was a lovely engagement. And it was very, like, do you know when you go to, like, a conference, they had tables with the numbers on them. They were just making their rounds going around the tables. So, it was lovely to see so many royals out. And I honestly, this is the thought that I had. The Queen's probably somewhere with a Horlicks and a PJs, you know, probably saying, keep the noise down.
Well, hopefully they paid a visit to Her Majesty while she was there.
I'm sure.
Because she is back at Windsor now, isn't she? And hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll see her this Sunday at the Cenotaph or Remember It Sunday.
Yeah. Briefly, before moving to the royal news then, Rach, we have pictures from the filming of Series 5, The Crown, with the infamous dress worn by Diana the night Charles admitted to having an affair with Camilla on national TV. This is such an iconic moment in Princess Diana's story, but also in our minds as a visual for her. And it's going to be quite interesting to see how they portray this in series. I've got butterflies in my stomach about series 5. Can I just say that right now? I'm really worried about it.
Yeah, it's hitting quite close to home now, isn't it? We're coming up in the decades. This is going to be the 80s, end of the 80s, moving into the 90s. Yeah, watch this space. It's next year it's coming out, isn't it? So be interesting to see. I mean, we'll obviously have to do a run through, won't we, when we watch it?
Yeah, definitely. And again, we've got the comparison between Kristen Stewart's Diana and Elizabeth Debicki's portrayal of Diana. It's been a week, hasn't it? It's been a week.
It's been a week. But now we're moving in to the royal news, and my, it's all coming out.
Royal community, buckle up, put your seatbelt on, put that kettle on. It's time for the royal news.
So before we get into the Meghan court case, we just wanted to have a little disclaimer to say that obviously this court case is ongoing. We're recording this on Thursday, the 11th of November, and we know that not all information has come out. So if and when we get any more information, we will let you know in future episodes. Also, please be aware that these are our own opinions. Please do your own research if you want to know any more information about the court case and the findings so far of this court case. Are you ready?
Educate me. What's going on?
So we're going to break this down into two parts. The first being the letter Meghan wrote to her dad, and the second part about the book Finding Freedom. Now, to give you a bit of context, Meghan sued the Associated Newspapers Limited, ANL, who publishes the Mail on Sunday, over 5 articles that printed extracts from a letter sent to her father, Thomas Markle, in August 2018. The High Court ruled that the publication of the letters were unlawful, and this meant that there was no need for a trial. So effectively, Meghan won the case. Now, ANL are challenging the ruling at the Court of Appeal, arguing that the case should go to trial on the claims, including breach of privacy and copyright. They are also disputing that whilst this was a private and personal letter, it was, quote, crafted with the possibility of public consumption.
Hmm. Okay, and then the lawyer for the ANL is Andrew Caldicott, and they then called up Jason Knaff, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Right, So when we're talking about these hearings, they're actually not there, are they? These are just written statements that are read out.
Yeah, they're not there in person.
Yeah. So then we hear from Jason. So what does Jason say, Rach?
Oh, well, what does Jason not say? So just to give you a bit of background, Jason was the former communication secretary for Harry and Meghan at the time that they were still working royals. And in regards to the letter, Jason gave evidence saying, "The Duchess sent me a series of text messages on the 28th of August 2018 about a letter she had decided to write to her father. In the messages, she referred to the conversations that the Duke was having with other members of his family who seemed to support taking a more direct approach in speaking to Mr. Markle and going to visit him. The Duke and Duchess did not support this." He then goes on to say in his statement that when the Duchess was considering how to handle Mr. Markle's increasing public interventions, both for concerns about his welfare and also to protect her reputation, she explored options for written communication that might convince him to stop giving interviews, but that could set the record straight if he gave them to the media. So the Duchess says she was writing the letter in part to allow the Duke to demonstrate to his family that some action was being taken by the couple to stop Mr. Markle from continuing to engage with the media. And she added that while unlikely, perhaps it will give my father a moment to pause. And Jason then added, she asked me to review the text of the letter, saying, obviously, everything I have drafted is with the understanding that it could be leaked. So I have been meticulous in my word choice, but please do let me know if anything stands out for you as a liability. You getting all of this?
Yeah. So the ANL are now claiming it should go to court because actually Meghan had written it with the possibility that it could become public knowledge.
Yes. Yeah.
And therefore they didn't breach copyright. That's basically where they're going with that.
Yeah, that's their claim, yeah.
Okay, so let's take this back. I mean, the evidence Jason has is quite damning in support of the ANL's right to go to court. However, I still believe that it was a copyright and privacy violation. So regardless, I mean, if we hadn't found out about Meghan and Jason's internal communications, then actually it still would have stood up. The fact that we've been given this knowledge now, the media can take that and run with it to support their argument. The other thing I think is Jason had said in his statement about Thomas Markle's, what did he say? Increasing public interventions. Now, that to me would state that this can be dangerous territory for Meghan to write a letter to him because it could potentially go into the public domain because he has these increasing public interventions, as Jason's mentioned. So it would make sense that she would go through Jason to go through the letter to make sure it's okay.
Yeah.
But the one thing for me is what was her intention? Was her intention it was always going to, in some way or another, get out to bring a little bit of, what's the word, like a bit more positive PR her way? Or was it because she wanted to do the right thing and write the letter and this is being leaked, her privacy and her copyright is being violated? For me, this is more of an intentional thing.
Well, let me continue, Michelle, because in carrying on with Jason's statement, he said she also asked a specific question regarding addressing Mr. Markle as daddy in the letter, saying, given I've only ever called him daddy, it may make sense to open as such, despite him being less than paternal. And in the unfortunate event that it is leaked, it would pull at the heartstrings. So in my eyes, I'm reading that. Pull at the heartstrings is, you know, she knows this is going to get leaked.
Mm.
So let me word it. Let me give you a copy. Let me, like, how can I word this so that if people read it, they kind of, you know, they feel that they're on my side. You know, my dad is the bad person. And, you know, I'm doing all I can. I've done all I can to help him, but he's not helping himself right now.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because as soon as you add an extra layer of information, it then goes, okay, so If that is the case then, and she has worded and scripted and sculpted the letter so knowingly, if it did get leaked, she would be seen more favourably, then her intention is not as admirable as if she just sent a letter to her dad.
Yeah.
And he decided to leak it. Whether that's unlawful in regards to her copyright claim, that's what they're talking about in the courts. So it's such an interesting one, isn't it, Rach? I'm kind of teetering on the edge. I hate to, you know me, I'm always kind of like in the middle of all these Harry and Meghan things, but it's quite interesting, the revelations that have come out from this.
Well, what's also interesting is that she's also...
Oh, please, also, you've got another layer.
Yeah.
You've got another layer.
She's also quoted as saying about the letter that it's real, honest and factual. And if he leaks it, then that's on his conscience. And at least the world will know the truth. Words I can never voice publicly. And then the court heard another exchange where she said, obviously, everything I have drafted is with the understanding that it could be leaked. So I have been meticulous in my word choice. So again, like, to me, this is, she knows it's going to be leaked. You know, when you look at the actual letter itself, the pages are numbered at the top. Who writes letters these days? And that's another thing, like, she was in England, her dad was in Mexico. Why didn't they just get on the phone to each other? Why didn't they just text? It's because if this gets leaked, it will look favorably in her favor. It will make her look like she's done all that she can, and that her dad has basically not supported that decision and gone off and leaked this letter to the press, which is what happened.
I mean, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place because I can completely understand her copyright claim, meaning I think she sent the letter off with the hope that it wouldn't get leaked, but with the high probability that it might.
It would. Yeah.
And she's protected herself by wording it correctly, but also then, it does go to show how isolating that environment is. You can't even send a letter. Not that anyone sends letters these days, like you just mentioned.
But what's interesting though, Michelle, don't you think that if this was a private letter to her dad, like if you was writing a letter to your dad, like I understand she was a member of the royal family, but why would you need it to be read by a communications secretary to proofread it?
I mean, I keep thinking one way, and then all of a sudden you bring up another fact, and I think another way, and then you bring up another fact, and I think another way, and I'm like, I'm so conflicted. I'm really conflicted because the facts are the facts. It was a copyright violation, however, and a privacy violation, however. Now they're arguing, well, her intention was for it to always be in the public domain. And now those receipts, shall we say, those emails from Jason have corroborated that story. So it's going to, I think this is going to play out a while in the courts. If that is, I mean, it hasn't been ruled yet. There is still a day to go in the courts, which is happening today. But that's as much as we've got from the Thomas Markle letter side of things.
So that's where we're at with the letter. Let's now move on to finding freedom.
Oh, is there more? Please, no.
And wow, this is where it all comes out. It all comes out. Through their lawyers, Harry and Meghan continually denied to have anything to do with finding freedom. Now, finding freedom is a book that was released by Omid Scobie and Carolyn Durand in August 2020, right?
Yeah.
So in his statement, Jason said the book was discussed on a routine basis, including directly with the Duchess, multiple times in person and over email.
With Jason. So Meghan was talking to Jason about finding freedom. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Through their lawyers, always denied that she has had any involvement in this book.
And this is Jason's written statement in the hearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is where it's all coming out.
I'm with you up until that point. Okay.
So we actually got to see some of the emails and text messages that have gone back and forth between Harry, Meghan and Jason. So this is where Harry comes into it a bit as well.
Okay.
Okay, so Jason set up a meeting with Scobie and Durand, and he emailed Harry, and the email read, "Morning, sir. Please see attached the topic areas Omid and Caroline want to discuss. Please can you decide if you would like to share these with the Duchess? Let me know what you think. I will see them this week to help them with factual accuracy and context. And then Harry replied, I think definitely share this with the Duchess and make the suggestion to her that you have here. She will be 100% supportive and totally agree that we have to be able to say we didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay.
Did you get that?
Yes.
You got that right. So that's coming from Harry's mouth. That's Harry's written word.
So that's in an email to Jason.
To Jason.
Equally, finding freedom.
About finding freedom.
Got it. Okay. Sorry.
Equally, you have the right context and background and help to get some truths out there. The truth is very much needed and would be appreciated, especially around the Markle wedding stuff. But at the same time, we can't put them directly in touch with her friends. Wow. I read this and I was like, okay, so you've never had any involvement and yet it's all there in black and white. And then there's another email saying, this is from Harry to Jason. Are you planning on giving them a rough idea of what she's been through over the last 2 years? Media onslaught, cyberbullying on a different scale, puppeteering Thomas Markle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Even if they choose not to use it, they should hear what it was like from someone who was in the thick of it. So if you aren't planning on telling them, can I? This is Harry to Jason. And then Jason replies saying, of course, I've never stopped. To which Harry replied, oh, how I hope they report on it properly. Good luck.
Okay. So we've just heard about the letter. And now in the appeal court, they're now talking about finding freedom.
Yeah.
Okay. It feels a bit disjointed to me, but we'll just carry on. In finding freedom, from what I hear you just say, Rach, Jason has categorically said that they had a part in it. That he had emails with Harry and Meghan, and he was the person who was the go-between the writers of Finding Freedom, Omid Scobie and Caroline Durand, and the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. So he was the middle person, kind of feeding the information back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what he's basically saying, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Right. And we know, through the lawyers, that Harry and Meghan have publicly denied ever having any involvement in Finding Freedom. And what have we heard from the writers, Rach?
So Omid Scobie, who was one of the co-authors, said in a witness statement in September 2020, and this is a direct quote, any suggestion that the Duke and Duchess collaborated on the book are false. They did not authorise the book and have never been interviewed for it.
Hmm. Technically, he's right, because from Jason's statements, he was the one that was connected to the writers, not the Duchess and Duke of Sussex. However, they were the ones that were feeding the information that Jason would be telling him. Am I getting all these facts right?
Yeah. So basically, yeah, they didn't directly meet with the authors, but they were the ones feeding the information.
Mm. Do you know what this reminds me of? Can you remember when Diana sent those tapes to her friends to send them to Andrew Morton?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, just write your own autobiography. I'm glad Harry's writing his autobiography next year, because I'm like, come on, like, what is going on? I'm tired, Rach. This is exhausting.
Oh, there's more, though.
Oh, please, no. What is that? I thought that was it.
No. So there is actually a list of topics in the email that Meghan wanted to brief the authors of Finding Freedom. And this includes everything from her family history to that she didn't have a close relationship with her half siblings growing up, but that she did have a close relationship with her dad. And then we see a list of things she thinks the authors will want a bit of a background on. And again, in an email sent to Jason from Meghan, this is what the email read. Hi, Jason. Thanks very much for the info below. For when you sit down with them, it may be helpful to have some background reminders. So I've included them below. And there's this whole list about the family. But then it goes on to the royals. So wedding planning, dealing with the media during the situation with Thomas Markle, royal tours, Harry's humanitarian work and work with Invictus, Meghan's charity work, her first patronage. And then this one's interesting, Michelle. KP moving forward. separate households.
Ooh. So KP is Kensington Palace, isn't it? Which connects to the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge.
Yep. Let me continue. Christmas plans, tabloid stories that need correcting, including the story about Meghan choosing her wedding tiara and also that she doesn't work with a stylist. Yeah, so to me, this just proves all along this was the long-term goal, was to separate from Kensington Palace, separate from William and Catherine, and to be their own commodity, setting up their own foundation, setting up their own household. And this was the goal from the start.
What I get from this isn't that, Rach, I'm, you know, we can't say yes or no to that. I mean, it's just your opinion on that, I guess. But from my understanding, this goes to show that they have lied to the public. And what I have always, and you can go back to episode one and episode two when we've done the Oprah special, I've always given Harry and Meghan the benefit of the doubt. And now I'm starting to think, if they can lie about being part of finding freedom, what else could they potentially be setting up in the future? And it's not making me think that what they said in Oprah is a lie. I mean, some things have been debunked, but not all things, you know. But it just makes me very cautious about things that are coming out. We had Harry this week giving an interview talking about the press misleading people. But then you've got Harry and Meghan, through their lawyers, who've lied to the public and said they're not part of finding freedom. What do you want? Do you want the truth? Do you want to be, you know, the ambassadors for truth? If that's the case, then you have to be truthful with us. And I have always given the benefit of the doubt to them. In this case, I feel like I've been slapped in the face by them, to be honest.
So as we said, Meghan has...
You're going to bring another thing now, aren't you? You're going to add another layer onto this.
So Meghan, as we said, has continually denied having any involvement in finding freedom, as we said before. But in her latest witness statement, she insisted she couldn't remember the emails or finding them during her own searches. And she said, I accept that Mr. Knopf did provide some information to the authors for the book and that he did so with my knowledge. For a meeting that he planned with the authors in his capacity as communication secretary, the extent of the information he shared is unknown to me. And then she continues, I did not have the benefit of seeing these emails and I apologise to the court for the fact that I had not remembered these exchanges at the time. I had absolutely no wish or intention to mislead the defendant or the court. In fact, had I been aware of these exchanges at the time of serving the re-amended reply, I would have been more than happy to refer to them as I feel they strongly support my case. So what do you think of that then?
How do they strongly support Meghan's case? I don't understand. How do they strongly support a case?
I know. I think now the thing with Meghan and Harry is they're so discredited. Like you just said, like you don't know what to believe from them. At the beginning, you wanted to believe them, but now all these things are coming out and they just don't hold credibility, you know? And I think that whole thing of when you think back to the Oprah interview and Buckingham Palace released the statement and the whole line of recollections may vary. Now that's ringing very true, isn't it? It's always been a kind of he says, she said. And there's always, like we've said before, a palace source that's bringing out all this information. But now, in fact, it's coming to light that they did have knowledge of certain things. They have said certain things, but they have always continually denied it. And I think this is the thing. It's okay when you deny something, but then when you've got evidence, like these emails, like these text exchanges, those can't be denied. Those are the facts. Those are the truths. And obviously, that is why she's had to apologise.
Oh, well, she's categorically said in one way or another, without saying she lied. What did she say? She said that she didn't remember, which isn't the same as lying, but it's also not telling 100% the truth.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Rach. I have fought Harry and Meghan's side for so long. And that doesn't mean that I dislike them. It doesn't mean that I won't follow their patronages and their charity work, because they do amazing stuff in the world. But the fact that so many things now are starting to get debunked. It just, for me, I just feel silly. I feel silly having to have supported them. But also, let me put it this way, and I'll put it very categorically. Just because she or they didn't disclose that they had anything to do with finding freedom does not discredit the press's behavior on printing a letter, regardless of whether she wrote it for public consumption. The intention of that letter, I would love to believe, was, I don't know, just to have a communication with her father to say that I've done everything I can. And that still does not take away from the fact that they took that privacy and copyright. And in my eyes, they abused that. It, you know, as usual, I can see both sides of things, but I just feel a little bit silly. I really do.
I can see both sides of, I understand what you're saying about the whole copyright and privacy thing. But I think, you know, what this comes down to is the fact, again, that they have denied throughout this whole proceeding that they have had any involvement, especially with the book Finding Freedom. And now it's coming to light that they had, you know, and we kind of always guess that they had, but to flat out deny it and then this come out that they did have involvement. Yeah, I just, it's hard, isn't it? Because when we go back to the Oprah interview, I think we both said, like, when Harry got engaged, we were so excited for him, you know, he finally found someone. But there's just so much over time that has come out, even if it is, you know, a palace source or someone said this, someone said that. But we've heard so many of these things now. I'm kind of believing them, as in the sources. The more I'm hearing about it, the more I'm taking that side over Harry and Meghan.
I also want to make two points. Firstly, the coverage of Harry and Meghan in the UK is very different to the rest of the world. And I want to make that categoric. There's some things, we've had some royal community message us and say, oh, have you heard this about what Harry and Meghan are doing? And we're like, no, we haven't heard any of that. You know, have you heard about this and that? I'm like, no. Mm. People in Australia, have you heard about, you know, Thomas Markle on Big Brother? I'm like, no, no. But I think it's the son on Big Brother, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's like her half-brother, isn't
it? Half-brother, yeah. And we don't get to hear those things. Our press only show and tell things about Harry and Meghan when it's to do with the royal family. So we want to make that very clear, because a few times we've had people messaging, why aren't you talking about this? And we're like, we haven't heard about that. And another thing is Jason Knapp is still a member of the royal household. He is part of the Royal Foundation, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the CEO of the Royal Foundation.
Yeah. So we also have to just call a spade and say he might potentially have some biases because he still works for the royal family. He might not, but, you know, I'm exhausted. I'm absolutely exhausted. I can't believe it is what I'm going to say. I am absolutely heartbroken. Let's put it that way. I'm heartbroken as a royal community member. And
I don't think we've ever been this divided, have we?
No.
Because you have, like, you know, I hate to say it, but you're either Team Cambridge or Team Sussex. It is very much one or the other now. Mm. And yeah, it's just, I mean, I've always been a supporter of Harry. I always had been a supporter of Harry.
He was one of your favourite royals.
He was one of my favourites. Yeah. And to me, I just, all these things that are coming out, it's just, oh, Harry, what have you done? What are you doing? Come on, you know. Mm. But like you said, it will be interesting to find out what he says in his book when that's released next year.
Yeah. And I'm also going to say, I am not going to sit here and be sycophantic about the royal family. They've done...
I mean, look at the whole, you know, Andrew thing. We've spoken before about the Andrew scandal.
Yeah.
You know, the royals, they have a way, the institution have a way of brushing certain things under the carpet.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, isn't it? To take sides is just not the right thing to do as a royal community, as part of the royal community, because neither one, we're all human, we all make mistakes. But I think for me, it's like, what was their intention? What is the intention behind, you know, harbouring Andrew instead of pushing him out and going, no, you know, prove your innocence. Or the opposite with Harry and Meghan, you know. We definitely know there was racism in the press. We definitely know that Meghan was, what's the word, like it had an avalanche of bad press and vilified, absolutely. We're never going to say that didn't happen to her, and we're never going to say that didn't have an effect on her mental health. But now I'm thinking, why lie about giving information to find her freedom? Like, who cares? Like, if they give information to find her freedom, fine. Like, I'm not worried about that. I'd probably buy a board, you know what I mean?
But I think it is the fact that they have denied it for so long and now it comes to light that they did have involvement.
Yeah.
Because who else apart from them would be able to leak such stories?
Yeah.
You know, there's only so many, you know, a friend said this, a source said that. But, you know, especially when it comes to the whole Meghan's wedding tiara, there was only, you know, there was the Queen, Meghan, Harry and Angela Kelly, who's the Queen's dresser, in that room choosing the tiaras. So who else would that have come from if not from Harry and Meghan? Because it's definitely never, ever going to be the Queen, is it?
So with regards to the tiara situation then, there was a story that Meghan had wanted the Greyville tiara, right, from Eugenie.
Yeah.
But that's not a thing. That didn't ever happen, right? That's what Meghan's saying.
So on that list of things that Meghan said that the authors might want background on in regards to the tiara, it says Meghan shared the very special story about choosing the tiara in their wedding exhibition now ongoing at Windsor. It's in the VO that she and Harry did. The Queen, Harry and Meghan were all present. She tried on 5 tiaras and the Queen asked her which she preferred. Meghan asked the Queen her preference. The Queen said they all suited her and Meghan chose the diamond one, which the Queen agreed was perfect. Shame to see such a beautiful, sweet moment skewed in the media. There was no conversation about any other tiara as a preference. Meghan loved the one she wore and it remains a very special memory.
Pushing aside who said what and whether it's true or not, could you imagine being stood there with the Queen and 5 tiaras in front of you, Rach?
I know, don't.
I would sleep well that night. I'd be like, this is the best moment of my life.
So that's everything that we know so far. This is continuing today, so Thursday the 11th of November, and then a decision will be made in the next few weeks or so. So in terms of if Meghan will get a full apology from the ANL.
Well, I need to lie down after that. I mean, I didn't know everything about the appeal hearing. So when you're saying it, Rach, is when I'm finding out about it. So my reactions are because it's the first time I'm hearing about it. And I really feel like I've been slapped in the face. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I really like Harry and Meghan, but I'm going to just take everything they say with a bit of a pinch of salt now, rather than believing them over everything. And that's not to say that they've lied about every single thing, but I'm just going to take that step back and have a bit more of a critical mind rather than taking what they say on face value, which is so disappointing as a royal community member. I'm just really disheartened by that.
So, royal community, that's what we think. Let us know in the comments over on Instagram what you think. So at Keeping Up The Windsors Pod on Instagram, or email us keepingupthewindsorspod@gmail.com. And yeah, we'd love to know your thoughts, your opinions. As we probably can guess, they're going to be quite varied. You're either pro Meghan and Harry or you're against Meghan and Harry at this point.
Or like me, I'm right in the middle. Like,
yeah. Oh. Or yeah, or you just don't know what side you're on. Do you even want to take a side?
Yeah. Have you ever seen those cartoons where like Tweety Pie's been hit in the face and then he's got like the little birds flying above him? I feel like that. I'm like,
I've got a headache now. I literally, yeah. It's like too much information to process.
We will, like I say, we'll keep you up to date as we get the info. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Like I say, these are our opinions. They may differ from yours and that's completely fine. But we are adults here. We have the space for you to air your opinions and we'd love to hear them. Thank you so much for being here and we will see you next week on
Keeping Up the Windsors.